Lord, I pray that this new season of our life would be fruitful and productive, and that your church, Father God, will be an example of what you want to do in the healings in people's lives again. Not because they came on a Sunday morning, but because you sent someone from here, someplace, in their workplace, and someone gets to touch the power of God because they had courage. So, Father, re-encourage your church today that you can do anything. And the church said, amen. So Deep Roots is a good way for you guys as a pastor to take you through the Old Testament when you don't feel like it. Like, Old Testament, I don't want to do that, you know. So I've been doing that. I'll be learning some significant things, you know, life lessons to take away. It's not just old stories, it's life lessons, right? Deep Roots, we learned about Abraham, Deep Roots 1. God has individual relationships. Like, and that's to me the most important one because this is pretty selfish. I'm already off the notes. When I heard that Abraham was called the friend of God, I coveted that title. It's like, man, that's no cooler title than that. Like, God was going to do some stuff. He goes, well, before I go do that, I better go talk to Abraham, let him know what's up. Like, Lord, you stop by my tent? Let me go get some food. Dr. Heidi, prepare something good. Let me bring it out. And I wanted that. So we studied a little bit of Abraham. And then we studied Jacob, known as Israel, right? What God was doing to him. And now we're in the middle of part two of Moses, right? And it's not real whimsical. It's not like we're floating through. Oh, we're floating through the Old Testament now. This is a little different because we know roots are important. Anybody like any gardening? I don't know. The older I get, I'm into birds and gardening. It's so weird. I was just like, what is my problem? My friends saw that on Facebook, like, what happened to you, Capozzi? You know? But your roots are your connections. And your connections are very important. What you're connected to is very important. Right? And it's also important we inspect our roots. I almost harvest my garlic too early, and it would have been a shame because they're little tiny bulbs. You know, we got to inspect our roots. Are they good? I have to check them all the time. So I've been flashing back a lot, and I want to flash back all the way to last week where God's people sang out a song, just like you guys did today, actually. It was a personal song, and it was a monumental song. It was declarations. So let's look at the first three lyrics that they sang, all right? Exodus 15, 1 through 5, the first three lyrics. I told Dr. Heidi it was your fault you were singing secular music in church last week. I didn't start that.
No, you did.
I did. Yeah, I had them sing along songs. You'd have loved it, Keith. They know more American Pie than they do Hillsong. Yeah, they just crush it. Yeah, they just, bah, you got, don't sing it now. I see you. No, it's not the time. It's not the time. It says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song. They sang to the Lord, singing. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider have been thrown into the sea. And right there, you know, Andrew, I think that's like gangster rap. They're talking trash like, yeah, you know, just one. They're singing a song like horse and rider thrown into, where are you at, Egypt? We're on stage. Where are you? You're under the sea? Oh, too bad. You should listen to God. That's how I mean, maybe you didn't have that kind of tune. I wasn't there. I'm just saying. That's how I hear it. I have problems. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. They're making it personal. They're singing and saying, hey, I want to tell you something, right? He has become my salvation. This is my God. So they're saying these things like, look, I'm all in. You did this. You brought us out of Egypt. We're singing out like we're in. We're 100% in. You're my God. You're my God. And I'm going to praise him. So I'll praise him. You're my Father God. And I will exalt him. You know what I hear when I hear that? Say respect. I will respect you. Told you last week, I was a kid, upstate New York, raised Irish Catholic, Italian Catholic combination. I had to learn all sorts of respect. And I was a hard way learner. I had to learn things the hard way, unfortunately, for a while. And then it says this, the Lord is a warrior. Now, men's ministry, we would go at that, but we won't expect the normal. The Lord's a warrior. The Lord is his name. And then they just kept on singing. And if you want to listen to Miss Blanche or Panda, they'll tell you, go read it for yourself. I said, go read it for yourself. You want to hear the rest of that song? Go spin it later. But God's people, they seem all in, don't they, by that song? Like, they seem like they're all in. They seem like they've learned some stuff, or maybe they're learning. Ever thought you learned something, then you realize, oh, I'm learning it. I didn't really learn it.
Right.
Yeah, that's me most of the time. God, they're learning this. This is the biggest lesson learned. God must be first. With their new saved lives, it must be centered on him. Do you see the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament right there? That's us too. We came to Christ. If you come to that, accept Jesus forgiving you for your sins. Like, it's a new life that began. Right? And God says, and I need you to know something. Your new life I saved you from, it's got to be all centered on me. Start there. Right? Yeah. They learn that. They learn they got to center on his ways because, you know, we get comfortable in our ways and they're not the most functional ways. Don't raise your hand because your mom is here. But some of us were raised in dysfunctional homes. I don't know, Pastor, what you're talking about. You know, some of us, you know, we were. They learn that once delivered from dysfunction or sin or mindsets, you got to stay focused or it's going to come back after you. We learned that last week. They'll chase you down like, oh, I'm fine with that. I do it. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, like, how did I fall into that nonsense again? Anybody? Man, right? They learn that once delivered, they better stay focused on obeying them. They're going to be recaptured. They learn to trust and have, say, respect. Respect for who God is, his ways, his order, and the folks he puts in charge. That was hard for me. I always had a problem with authority. That's shocking for some of you. But I always did, you know. Even if they're doing a good job, for some reason, like, don't tell me what to do. I had a problem. I had to learn to respect him. I had to learn that he had best for me if I'll put myself in that position. God cares for me. He had to break me so he could build me, right? Technical difficulties. Please stand by. Transition. Now I'm only limited to, I don't know if it's my Irish half or my Italian half. I don't know. But they're learning not to complain. Ever have to learn that lesson? Not to complain? If you have never learned that lesson, I'd like to silently say you will. Because he doesn't like it. Like, God doesn't like the complaining. And hopefully they're learning to cry out directly to God and claim the promises that he has for them, right? I know that it was hard for me this week. Anybody ever, they say this, wrestle with God? I never do that. I'm not, he says something, I really try to go, yes, sir. I'm going to be honest right now. You ready? I'm off the stage. Hannah's here. Haley, I feel like good. I'm a good sugar. Yeah, she's like, I don't know, Dad. I'm nervous. Don't do it. Well, do it. Thank you. I hear that voice. This week, I have a little adrenal fatigue, you know, so I deal with that sometimes. But it hit me this week in prayer because I realized I was wrestling with God over Miley. I got to be honest. I did not love that she was going to the DRC. I'm just, here I am. I'm naked on stage. I did not love it. And I said this to God. I'm ashamed, but I'm going to tell you so you can feel better when you have if you have a shameful moment. I said, Lord, if something happens to her, I will not recover from this time. I've recovered from accidents. I've recovered from people stabbing me in the back. I've recovered from so many things, but I will not. Careful when you tell them what you will not do. I thought I learned that lesson, Miss Lee. I thought I learned that. I didn't. I was crying this week, and he said, what are you going to do? Not saying he's going to challenge Miley, but he said, what are you bringing to the table that you're going to threaten me with? Or where are you going to go without me? I spent about 20 minutes crying and apologizing and praying like a vicious savage over Miley in the DRC because I want to see souls saved, lives changed, and I want to see miracles because she's faithful. So, there's me being vulnerable. Because God said last week, too, that we're supposed to listen, to pay attention, and to do what is right in his eyes. In his eyes. Not their eyes. Sometimes I feel like I know better. God, I have a better idea than you do, actually. Right? Anybody ever have a better idea than him when he does? I've had better ideas, yeah. And he says, no, I think it's right this. I feel like this should be right. God said, that's not what I'm calling right. You have to call right what I call right. Because I'm God. I have a standard and an order that you don't understand. If it's not obeyed, it unravels the fabric of humanity and destroys their soul. I have an order that keeps that together.
Just because you have a feel doesn't mean, right? In God's eyes. Say, I'm learning. Have grace for me. I'm going to pick up my game. I'm going to pick up my game. Okay. I'm the church. It's my season. So they sang this song so they would never forget it. They sang the song. They learned that these new lives have got to be centered on God. And I repeat that because it seems like God's repeating it all the time. Like, that's the number one thing. He keeps going, hey, remember, I'm first, right? You learn this lesson? Yeah, I'm first. I feel like it's woven over and over and over and over again. And then they learn that don't get trapped in a test. Ever feel like, man, I'm in the same old place doing the same old thing. I can't get out of the same old way. Don't get trapped in a test. But we also learn don't get so hard on yourself if you don't pass a test the first time. You just don't give up. Well, I guess I'm just never going to. No, no. You got to keep taking that test till you pass it. And I think God's got his church in the middle of some tests. Have you feel like you're in the middle of a test? Feel like you're in the middle of a test? I feel it every day. There are good ways to grow because of them. And so I want to expose how tests sometimes are the most important thing we go through. Say, tests are a good thing? Yeah. If you ever had to stand on concrete in a building, you better thank God someone tested it for its strength. If you ever needed steel to hold something up, thank God it's been tested, right? Anything that bears weight or loads needs to be tested. And he's asked us to bear the gospel. So that's why he tests us. He tests us. He strengthens us so we can do the job, right? That's why he can send people like Miley places that I would be not wanting to go. Why? He's tested her. All right, so they're learning to live free and learning to please God. Anybody have that problem? You came to Jesus, it was like so easy. Like, man, just serving God is so easy. Nobody? No, it's a process, right? You're like, okay. Anybody a little better than you were the first day you came to Jesus? Anybody just like a smidgen better? I'm a smidgen better. I'm a smidgen. You know, I'm moving up the ladder, Joe. I'm moving up the ladder. Exodus 16, 1 through 3. It says, they set out from Elim. Remember, that was the place that they had provision. They're complaining like, man, God, you brought us out here to die. Kill us in the desert. Moses, you're a punk. Let's paraphrase. I can't believe it. You know, and then God said, commit to me. Like, we'll commit to you. Okay, right around the corner. Oh, look it. Lots of palm trees and water. How wonderful, right? Elim. It says, and the congregation of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. Not the word sin that we think today. It's kind of like, you know, Spanish, you can say sin, but it means without, right? This doesn't mean, you know, sin like it means places of clay and thorns, which is humanity, right? The thorns that paid for the clay, but it's a Hebrew word. It says, the wilderness which between Elim and Sinai. And I pause there in this boring part of Exodus to say this. They don't understand how important what's about to happen is coming. They're just getting free. They're just glad to be free. And God said, I'm about to take you to Sinai. You're going to see signs and wonders again, and I'm going to give you the basic rules of your life. He's going to drop the Ten Commandments on them, okay? So on the 15th day of the second month, they left for the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of Israelites grew discontented and murmured and rebelled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. I got to say, that's tough. I don't know if you've ever led anything. Anybody ever lead anything, like you're in charge of supervisor stuff? Ever have your whole crew just, that's tough leadership. Everybody's fussy. You got to get them, come on, man. I'm paying you $25 an hour. Throw the gravel. Right? Larry up there on your air-conditioned tractor drinking Dr. Pepper. I'm down here. Right? That doesn't happen, Pastor Larry, I'm sure. The whole congregation of the Israelites grew discontented and murmured and rebelled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. That's interesting. And the Israelites said to Moses and Aaron, the leaders, here's a little side note. Never get an idea that it's great to be lippy or fussy to who God puts in charge. Now, I won't stay there. If we had a leadership class right now, I would teach that. It seems self-serving. But I'm saying if God put someone in charge and God did it, he'll deal with them. I'm not saying roll over and do nothing if they're in sin or rebellion. But lots of times, God, he deals with them, right? And they're fussing at the leaders. It says, would that we had died in the hand of the Lord in Egypt where we had meat to eat and we had bread. But you, for you have brought us here, Moses. You've brought us here to the wilderness, this entire assembly. I got a picture of Moses' face right after they said it. Snapped it. What? Are you, what? What? Are you kidding? What? Are you blaming me for this? God was smashing Egypt like, oh God, I heard you sing the song. You're my God. You're my strength. You it. You the one. You is. Right? You're singing. And now you're like, Moses, you did this to us. He's like, come on, back up. I'm taking that smack from you. Exodus 16:4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold. See, I'm thinking, all right, you're going to say to him. But see him talking, trashing us out, God? Get him. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'll cause bread to rain from heaven for you. What? But they're fussy, he said, I know. Behold, I'll cause bread to rain from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. So every day. Every day, so that they, that I may test them. See, tests determine whether you're going to walk obediently or not to instructions. I've had people say, you know, I can't wait to be a foreman, right? Can't wait to be a foreman. I want to run the show. But you won't even throw the gravel. You won't do the first thing, and you want the last thing? You want to be, you know, and that's not how it works. He said, I'm going to give you something to obey and to see if you're faithful with it. I'm going to give you a little. And if you're good, I'll give you some more, right? I'm testing you. Exodus 16:5 through 7. And God has many things to say, right? If you search his word and listen, it says, and it shall be that on the sixth day, they shall prepare to bring in twice as much as they gather daily. Wait, what? Why? Why? Why would we do that? He's about to have a new life hack. There's a new life hack coming for Israel right here. The life hack of something he's going to command, and it's called Sabbath rest. And he says it's required. It's crazy that he's going to put it in the Big Ten. Like, I wouldn't put it in the Big Ten. I'd be like, yeah, get some rest when you can. Make sure you honor God. You know, yeah, give him every day, you know. I don't just have one day of the week. I just give him every day. That's how I would do it. It wouldn't make the top 10, honor the Sabbath. I'm just telling you, for me, I'm not in charge. I didn't write it. I'm just sharing it. Okay. It says, so that they will not need to gather on the seventh day. Say, trust. So Moses and Aaron said to all Israel, at evening, you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. Remember, they're just fussing. We're hungry. We got nothing. What did you bring out so to kill us? He says, God's going to help you out. Recall again how he said he would and how he has, you know. He sang that song and everything. So quit blaming. Quit blaming the leader here in this. God's saying, hey, it's not Moses. I've always been the one. I'm the provider. I'm the deliverer. He's just a mouthpiece, right? Quit blaming leaders. Quit blaming other people for things that God is working out in you. I'll say it over here. Quit blaming God and leaders and other people for things he's trying to work out in you. If something's being pushed and pushed and pushed, you're irritating me. Maybe they are irritating you. And maybe he's using it to push something out of you. Right? And so when we get those things, we should go directly to God, right, with those things. And in the morning, he says, you're going to see the glory of the Lord. For he hears your murmurings against the Lord. He says, what are we that you murmur and rebel against us? Moses is saying, look, I'm nobody. I said yes to the job, but I don't want to. I ran away at first. I took off like, screw Egypt. I'm out of here. I'm going to hang out in Midian. I'm going to get married. I'm just be like chilling. Go back there. I don't want to. It's not my fault, man. I didn't sign up for this. So God shows us what he's thinking about stubborn complaining. And he shows us what he has in order. And he shows us how he feels about supporting leaders, even though they're not perfect sometimes. Like I said, I'm not going to go deeper there, but that's a principle I had to learn in my life. Until I learned it, I was always going to have trouble. Exodus 16, 8 through 12. Moses said, this will happen. This will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning, bread to be fully satisfied, because the Lord has heard your murmurings against him. For who are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. So when we try to mask our complaining hearts however we like, we know we're really blaming him. I was mad. I was mad at YWAM. I had a little problem. What kind of leadership sends my girl to the DRC? I should call somebody. You know me. I was thinking it. You know, I'm do. Yeah, I need to talk to somebody. No, not you. Someone older than you. Yeah. But it said, you're not murmuring against YWAM. You're murmuring against me. Don't mask it. Own it. I had to. It took me 20 minutes. Then Moses said to Aaron, I love it. He's passing on leadership responsibilities. And Pastor Sean said to Pastor Larry, you be the connections pastor and run round table. I love it. That's where I got that from, so it works for me. Say to all the congregation of Israel, approach the Lord. Approach the Lord. What is he saying there? You got a beef with me? Come to me. You got a beef with me? Come to me. Stop going to your neighbor or the prayer chain. This is a prayer request. No, it's not. It's a vent session. Did you take that to Jesus? Right? There are things that we, anybody? I got to know I'm in the right place that we do that. Right? Right. Approach the Lord because he's heard your murmurings. And so it happened. God's gracious response was, I'm going to smack you with this rolled up newspaper. I hear you fussing. You know what? I'm going to teach you a lesson. Like Milo, my dog in the backyard. You want to bark? I said, stop the Z. I'll get out the paper. That's how I would have handled it. Anybody else? God said, I'm going to show one more. I'm going to give a miracle. Oh, I'm going to love on them even deeper. I'm going to send them stuff that they're asking for. But I am going to get on to them about their fussing. That happened. The congregation of Israel looked toward a wilderness, and behold, the glory and brilliance of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of Israelites. Speak to them at twilight. You shall eat meat. And in the morning, you shall be filled with bread. Moses just does what God says. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Like, how is this going to happen? Honestly, it's a grace step that I wouldn't have done. I feel like it's disrespectful. Right? You fussy, ungrateful kids. You little babies. Right? And then, I'm so glad God is not like me. He says, I'm going to show you how great and patient I am. Anybody here ever shown you great patience? Man, he showed me great patience. Ever shown you grace when you knew, like, man, I deserve the paper? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say, fafatai, that's thank you. Fafatai, listen some more. Thank you, Jesus, right? Exodus 16:13. So in the evening, the quails came up and covered the camp. Say, cool. Or we don't have anything to eat. We're starving. He said, tomorrow, I'm going to send some quail, litter the camp with it. Boom. If you go to a restaurant in Scottsdale, you're paying $45 for that. But I sent it, you know? And in the morning, there will be a blanket of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew evaporates on the surface of the wilderness, there will be like a fine flake-like thing. And then I realized why this description is like it is, because he's a man. What's the bread look like? It's a fine flake-like thing. That's all I'm getting? Yeah, you just woke up in the morning, it'll be a flake-like thing. Just go grab that. You know, that's how I could see me going, oh yeah, I would do that. In the morning, there'll be a flake-like thing. Go get it. You know, like, what's he talking about? You know? The flake-like thing is a fine frost on the ground. And the Israelites saw it, and they said to one another, what is it? They didn't go, oh, God provided food. They go, what is it? You know, if you ever go out to eat with someone who's really picky, ever, and they're doing this, what is it? No, you're going to like it. What is it? You know, like, just put it in your mouth. You're going to like it. What is it? I just picture that's what they're doing, you know? What is it? And they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is bread. It's actually the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Say commanded. The commander sometimes has commands. They're going to learn that. They didn't, until this point, they didn't have many commands. It was just get out of Egypt. They didn't have, all they had is Egypt culture. They grew up in Egypt dysfunction. They grew up with Egypt gods. They grew up with immoral decisions. They grew up in a culture where they were slaves to it. And they didn't have anything other than they're free now. And he said, I'm going to give you commands. And you're going to learn they're going to be good for you. instead of rebelling against them, embrace them, and you'll see that I'll change you and I'll make you the light of the world, Israel. From slaves to the light of the world. From underneath Egypt's feet to my children. But I got to train you in the way that you should go. Who let me know that kids need training? Teachers, right? Anybody want, like, no, we didn't do it. We never disciplined our kid. We let them do whatever they want. We sent them to school to be with you. Like, what? They're like, Pastor, that happens all the time. You know? Let every man gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person according to the number of people in each of their families. Exodus 16, 17. Israelites did so. Say, that's a great response. They did so. He did, because lots of times they wait. You know, they don't quite do it. So they did so. I'm so glad. And some gathered much, and some gathered little. And when they measured it, an omer who had gathered a large amount, no one had excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered according to his family size. And then check this out. Moses has more specific instructions. Moses says, let none of it be left until morning. He says, hey, go collect that wafery stuff on the ground. It's going to be bread. Go get it and eat it, but don't keep any overnight. No midnight snacking, Pastor Sean, but that's my favorite time. Dr. Heidi's sleeping, and she doesn't know I'm rustling through the fridge. That's where I keep my wafers, you know? And he said, no, let none of it be left till morning. Go collect as much as you need, like pig out. Fill your belly, but none of it gets left till morning. Simple instruction, Jeff? Is that simple? I mean, is it clear? It seems clear to me, right? Moses, in Exodus 16, 19 through 21. Moses said, let none of it be left overnight until morning. But they, say them. You know any thems?
Yeah.
That when they're told to do something, they don't always do it the first time. They do it their way. You know any of those thems? I used to be one of those thems. I'm not one of those thems anymore. So I'm going to be one of the theys, but I was one of thems. Anybody else been one of thems? Yeah. Oh, them. But they did not listen to Moses, and some left a supply of it until morning. Like, I don't want to go out tomorrow, Keith. I just want to stack a little. God's not going to notice that, you know? And they let it stay till morning. And it bred worms, became foul and rotten. And, you know, the next line is really makes me feel better. And Moses was angry with them. Say, no duh. No duh. So they gathered it every morning as much as he needed because the sun would melt it away. I have a picture. I think I have a picture next. Yeah. You can't save a piece of that corn. There's no saving corn. You know, you can't save it till tomorrow. He said, I'm going to give all the, you know, wafers you can today, but there's no saving it. And that seems like, why? He says, because every day I need you to learn to trust me that it's going to be there. Every day. I don't want you to go out into your field and do you anymore. There's a day of the week that I'm expecting you to double up. We'll get to it. Well, you got to trust me, right? Exodus 16, 22. Now on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread. Two omers for each person. All the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, what is this that the Lord has said? Tomorrow is a solemn day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake and boil what you will bake and boil, and all that remains left over. Wait a minute. You said not to. Didn't he just tell us not to leave anything left over? Now he's saying, but this day you can. But remember when he did? Remember that guy next door to me? He kept some, and it smelled real bad, and there was worms. We're like, dude, why'd you do that? Now you're saying to do that? Wait a minute, because we know what. How can you alter God? You don't alter your laws, do you? He said, I can do anything I want to. I'm going to cause it someday that you're not going to have to sacrifice lamb's blood and put it over a doorpost so the angel of death passes you by. I'm actually going to send you the lamb, and you'll never have to do that again. He alters his law and upgrades it. And sometimes we just don't alter along with it, do we? And he's trying to get him to go, look, yeah, trust me on these 6 days, but on the sixth day, you take twice as much, and it's going to be fine. You do it on the first day, it's going to smell like worms. Why? Because I told you not to do it. Right? Put aside for yourselves to keep until morning. It won't be wormy. They put aside until morning, and Moses told them. I'm proud of them that they did it, aren't you? I just want to clap for them. They put it aside until morning, and Moses told them, and they did not become foul, nor was it wormy. Say sweet. that Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. You cannot get a provision from your own field today. Don't put it in your own strength. You know, I have a problem with this too, so I throw me under the bus before anybody else. So please, if you have a stone in your pocket, just hit me later. But I know lots of people, and I can fall into it sometimes, just are workaholics. Work, 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 work. I got this, then I got these, I got to keep up with my toy. Work, work. And God said, you keep like that up, you will always be spinning your wheels. Always be spinning your wheel. Always be spinning your wheels. There's some days you can't rely on your own field to take care of you. You got to rely on Him, and He's teaching that. I'm in the field of nursing. I'm in the field of doctor. Doesn't matter what field you're in, you can't go into it every day of the week and think that's going to take care of your life forever. He's teaching them something. Before it was a great commandment, He said, I need you to understand how important rest is and trust. If you give me what I ask you for, I'll give you what I promised. I have Elims all over the place, watering holes and date palms. I own cattle on 1,000 hills. I heard your murmuring. Why wouldn't I send, and I fed you food miraculously. Anybody feel guilty when you've had miracles in your life? And then the next thing you need a miracle for, your faith is about 3 inches high. And you thought, I'll always have faith again. I will never feel this lack of faith again. Then something comes up, you're like, oh God. And He said, I want you inch by inch to grab a hold of me on a daily basis that you can build this huge faith tank that I've done it and I'll continue to do it. They will not find it in their field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none in the field. Rest is a pattern. He did it at creation. It's a pattern, right? It's a terrible habit for people sometimes. We get a cultural habit falling into it, and I know they did. We always like to determine what's best for us. I'm American. I know what's best for me. I'm American, right? I do what I want when I want to do it. America. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I love, He saved me, but I do what I want to do when I want to do it. And it doesn't matter if He has a rule or not. Does that sound like someone who sang a song that said, you're the center, you're it, you it. I have a new life because of you, you're it. But we always find this pattern, a loophole to find to do something that we want to do. Trust me, I have that same problem with ice cream. Man, Kirsten has to tell me, I know it's dairy-free, but one box is not a serving. But I want to. It's yummy and creamy and good, right? Say, oh, them. Exodus 16, 27 through 30. Now, on the seventh day, some of the people, are there always somebody? Always somebody. Someone who thinks they're the exception. You know, I used to have Sister Mary Walter tell me that all the time, and I really wish I'd listened to her. She was rough on me, but I was an idiot. And she's like, Mr. Capozzi. She always called me Mr. Capozzi. Do you think you're above the law? Everyone else has to wear dress shoes, but you came in Magic Johnson's new Nikes. I said, yeah, I like them. There's a rule. Well, I had gym class second to last, so I thought I'd put them on now. Just, you know, roll through the hallway. She said, you think you're above the law, don't you? You're going to be suspended for that. I'll do it again. That's another suspension. Do it one more time. All right, I'm not going to do it anymore. On the seventh day, some people went out to gather, but they didn't find anything. They didn't listen the night before. They're like, oh, I don't have anything. I'm so hungry. I didn't do what God said. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long? This is. The Lord eventually has a point, right? He says this. How long do you people refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? I'm giving you simple stuff. Gather, don't gather. I'm not saying give me 50 push-ups and climb Mount Kilimanjaro. I'm not saying make enough bread for everybody and then your neighbors will make enough bread. No, I'm just saying I'm going to do all the work. I'm asking you to do something simple and all I'm getting is backlash from you. Or you're not following through on it. And then you're fussing and making an appointment to go fuss with somebody about something that I already told you to do. Anybody? Bueller? Anyone? Man, it hit me this week. It's not very Mother Day messagey, but it's right the season that I'm in. I'm in that season where I need to trust God a little more than I have been. And I've trusted him for mighty things. Come back from dengue fever. We've come back from the accident. We've seen the dead raised. I've seen a guy that was pronounced dead come back to life, say Richard Cook, if you know him. I saw that. God did this. I'll never again not have the faith. What about Miley? Are we going to fight about that? Well, you got to be honest with yourself, Pastor Sean. Are you trying to fix that to make sure she's safe? I called Dikembe Mutombo's rep. Now, if you don't know who Dikembe Mutombo is, a professional basketball player, but he came from the DRC, and I know a guy that knows him. And I was trying to get a private plane and a sat phone to Miley just in case. I was making contingency plans. I was on the phone, and Pastor Sean was going, do it! Yeah, you were there. Go ahead. Pastor's crazy. Do it, you know. Come on. Some people went out. He said, why do you refuse? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Like, he's trying to say, you don't get it. You think I'm punishing you? I love you with all my heart. I rain food down on you. I brought you out of Egypt when they were just smashing you. Do you remember how you used to live? I love you so much. I sent my son to die for you, and I'm trying to give you something. I'm trying to give you a break from having to trust yourself and trust your work and trust anything but me. I'm trying to give you rest. And you just fight it. You just fight it. Anybody? Yeah. Happens. So I'm trying to give you something. He says, therefore... Listen up. He gives you the bread for 2 days, and on the sixth day, let every man, say every man, no exception, there's a mankind, let every man stay in his place. No man is to leave his place on the seventh day. A rest day from work is required. Now, your place of rest, if you're blessed, like people I know with cabins up north, get there. Sometimes my rest is like sitting by my pool. Sometimes my rest is in the car sitting at Silly Mountain. But some of us got to put rest back into our life because it's a gift he gave us. And it's robbing us. It's robbing us from faith and provision in God. Shortening our lives. Lack of rest, right? He says, I'm trying to give this to you so every man should stay in his place. It says this, so the people rested on the seventh day. Say, I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them. Now you can go read the rest for yourself. I'm going to close up in a second. It's Mother's Day. I got to let you get out, eat some food, hug your mama. You know? God cares about your short term. He says daily. He says daily, I got you, baby. I got you daily. Trust me, I got you daily. But it wasn't just a daily thing. It's going to run out some point in time. Because some of us came from a place like, yeah, you're being nice now, but when are you going to? When is the switch going to flip? I live in such dysfunction. Like, when are you going to turn on me, God? When are you going to ask me something that I don't want to do that's going to hurt me, right? When is that going to happen? Anybody else? Uh-huh. Damn, yeah, I know. I see that. Mm-hmm. I know. So he said, you got to learn to trust me in the short term and in the long term care. We just have to do what he says and do it how he says. So we dig you, Pastor. Close up. Exodus 16:35. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years. Doesn't that blow your mind? 40 years, that was the system. Imagine how your grocery bill be cut down if Wonder Bread is out in the front yard, or potato bread, or that Asian, what is it called I like? Artisan bread, soft artisan bread. You know, imagine the bread's taken care of, and there's meat taken care of, and, man, imagine what you could save. 40 years. I could trust that. I'll buy a Camaro with what's left over, you know? It says he provided for 40 years until they reached the inhabited land that he promised them. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Next week, we're going to pick up there. And I want to ask you if you'd like to. It's early. And I made light of it. But some of us are hurting for those things. Not getting rest is killing us. God asked to do something. Maybe it wasn't gather something, but he asked to do something, and you know you're not doing it, and you're feeling the sting of it, and it's wrecking you. And that's real. That's what church should be. So I'm just going to play a song. I'm not going to linger or try to emotionally extract something on your Mother's Day, but if any of that touched you, and man, I cried 20 minutes I spent time with Jesus. Tell him, I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm trying to do me over you. Maybe you've had a hard time trusting for something that you've always wanted in your life, and you gave up. I guess God can't do that for me. It's too late now. I don't know what's been hitting your heart or where you're afraid of daily is not going to be. But if you'd like prayer, you're welcome to come up front. You're welcome to stand in your seat. But if you don't, just give us a couple minutes, those of us that really need to meet with God again. Does that sound good? Okay.
Years of shame shatter in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you are the Lord over every heart. You know exactly what each one needs. And so, Father, I thank you that you invade the heart and the soul of every person who cries out to your name. So, Father, today we honor you and we thank you also for the many mothers in this room who have wept in tears of joy, wept in years of even prayer. Father, I pray that you minister to each one, that you would love them like no one else ever could. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We want to celebrate you, mothers. When you go out on the patio, there's going to be a huge lemonade bar. Please thank Nick and Jasmine Davis for doing such a fine job to celebrate our mothers. There's a Mother's Day booth is there as well. So please gather together, love on one another, and let's go take the church out of these four walls and minister the love of God to everyone we come encounter with this week. Amen. Amen. God bless.